Begin the current daf, Masechet Vayetzar, daf Mem Vav. Begin 8 lines down from the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues in the discussion related to the previous daf regarding the inability to make something that's connected to the ground, like a mountain, prohibited as a Vayetzar. So even though it's worship, as we'll see, maybe the person is going to violate and get punished for the Isra of a Vayetzar, but the halacha that the item that's worshipped as a Vayetzar becomes Asabana does not apply to something that's connected, that's attached to the ground. So related to the halacha, the Gemara continues and says, Tani Tani Kamed Rav Sheshes. There was a teacher of Brises that taught the following Brises in front of Rav Sheshes. It says, Ha'akim ho'evdim es ha'arim besak vois, regarding an idol worshiper that serves mountains and hills. So as we said in the previous daf, Hein mutar. The mountains themselves are permitted, like we said, it's only Eloheihem al ha'arim, but the harim themselves do not become forbidden. But Vaivdei in Besayef. Those who worship the mountains, they do get punished with the death penalty by the sword, because even non-Jews are prohibited to worship Avodah Zarah, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin of Nun Vav Mem Aleph from the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. And the Gemara there tells us that any death penalty they get for their violation of the law is always going to be Saif, which is by the sword. Now, continues the Braisa, Vesazram, Vesayirakis, but if they're worshiping not the mountain itself, but the seeds, the grain, and the herbs, the vegetables, then heinasurun vayvdein besayif. Then the items that they're serving do become forbidden, and the non-Jew gets punished with the death penalty of the sword. So when the teacher of the brisa finished, so amalei Rav Sheshes said to him, the amalach mani. Who is this that's telling you this? Who's the author of this brisa? Must be Rabbi Yisrael Yehudahi, who we mentioned on the previous daf. The amal that he says, Elan shenatul b'sayif avdoi aser. Even a tree that was originally planted just to be a growth, not necessarily to be an avodah zarah, but later on it was served, it's still going to be aser as an asherah tree. So to over here, these zroim and these irakis, although they were planted just for growth, for vegetation, but since it was ultimately served, it does become aser. On that, as the Gemara, why did Rav Sheshes say it's necessarily Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, who says that even if you don't plant it initially for the purposes of a desire, but even if you serve it later on, the tree will become aser, in contrast to a mountain, but something like a tree will be, and same thing is applying to Zroim and Yerakis, which is in the same category as growths. But why didn't Rav Sheshes say it could be like everybody, where these Zeroim and these Yerakas were initially planted for the purposes of being servants of Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's even like the Rabbanan who say that when you only worship it later, it does not become Aser. But here, since it was planted for that, there they agree, as we proved from the previous daf from Sukkim, that even they agree that it would become Aser. So why is he saying it's necessarily Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda? So the Gemara, no, he can't entertain to say that these Zeroim and Yerakas were initially planted to be Avodah Zarah, and that's why it's Aser, because it's not to Mitchilikach, and even like Rabbanan, because the Tani Dumi Dehar. There's two cases that the Brisa talks about, a mountain, and Zeroim and Yerakas, which it's comparing them, which is Mahar Shaloi not to Mitchilikach, just like the mountain that was not initially planted, was not created to be an Avodah Zarah. Hashem made the mountain. It's just that later on people can come and serve it as Avodah Zarah. Also must be that in the parallel case of Zeroim and Yerakas, it wasn't initially planted with that. And still, it's saying that it will become Aser. That's like a piece of Yehuda holds, even if it was not planted with Avodah Zarah, and only afterwards it was served, it will still become Aser as Avodah Zarah and Aser Vana. Now, Idma, we learned to relate a discussion, Avni Harsh and Adaldu, regarding the rocks of a mountain that got uprooted, was broke off from the mountain, and then a non-Jew goes and bows down to it and serves it like a Avodah Zarah. We know the mountain does not become Aser, but here it's not attached anymore, it got broken off of the mountain. What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, B'nei Reb Chiya v'Reb Yechanan. It's a machlekes between the sons of Reb Chiya and Reb Yechanan. Chadamar, one of them says, Asuris, that these rocks are going to be forbidden. V'chadamar Mutaris, and the other one says that they're going to be permitted. So the Gemara explains, Maitam demandam mutaris. What's the reason for the one who says permitted? Seemingly the one who says aser makes sense because it's not attached anymore to the ground, it's broken off. Why is the one who says that it's permitted, why is it not aser as something that's worshipped as a Avodah Zarah that's not connected to the ground? Says the Gemara, because he holds it's kahar. The rocks that break off from the mountain are like the mountain itself. Why? Because mahar she'im b'tfisas yidei adam u'mutar, just like the mountain itself, is not affected by man. The mountain is what it was when it was created. So there's nothing that was manipulated or affected by man. And we see in halacha, as we prove from the previous daf in the pasuk, that everyone agrees to Eloheihem al ha'arim, but the harm itself does not become aser b'hana. Afhani she'im b'tfisas yidei adam mutar. Here also the rock is not being affected by man. It's a natural organic material. And it's not being affected by person, although it's broken off in the mountain, but it's still the same rock that it always was. And therefore, it's going to be mutter. It's not going to become asaba nas of a desire. And that is the Gemara, malahar. But how could you compare the rock that breaks off in the mountain to the mountain itself to say, oh, you see that the mountain, and this seems to be the same thing. It's not the same thing, because what we find by mountain is shekei mechuber. It's, besides it's not affected by a person, it's attached to the ground, to the world, to the earth. In contrast, here, the rock that broke off, maybe there could become asar b'hana. And that says the Gemara, no, behemah techech. Behemah will disprove that, where an animal is not attached to the ground, and yet it does not become asar when it's bowed down to. And how do we know that? From the fact that the Torah says that a nevad, an animal that was worshipped as a avodah zarah, becomes forbidden for gvayah to be used as a carbon. And we know that because the pasuk says when you bring a carbon min habakar from the cattle, which says, but not all the cattle, which the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Mem Bei says, comes to exclude nevad, an animal that was worshipped as a avodah zarah. So obviously, if it only comes to tell you it's usher as a carbon, obviously for common usage for a regular person, it's permitted. Because if it would be forbidden even for a person as asabana, as avodah zarah, so why would I need a pasuk to forbid it as a carbon? That would already be known from a different halacha where it says mimashki yisrael, which that means to tell us that only something that's permitted for a Jew is then permitted as a carbon. So if it would be asr for a Jew anyways because as asabana, as avodah zarah, I wouldn't need a pasuk. So obviously, it's only asr for hektish, but permitted for a regular person. So you see that obviously the halacha from behemoth tells us that behemoth is also mutabano, does not become asar avodah zarah. So you can't tell me the reason would be because you need something that's attached to the ground, because behemoth is not attached to the ground, and yet it is also mutabano. It does not become asar as avodah zarah. Why not? Because it's also not affected by man. It's the same animal it always was. Now, so then the Gemara says, but wait, mala behemoth, how could you learn out these rocks that break off in the mountain from an animal, shekin balas chayim? That's a living thing. So maybe a living thing you can't make forbidden because it has its own entity, has its own soul. In contrast, a rock that breaks over the mountain, maybe there it would become asabana as avodah zarah. And that's the Gemara Hayichich. Well, a mountain will disprove that, where it's not a living thing. And yet still we see that it's not going to be asabana, even though it's worship as avodah zarah. The Chazra din, and then the thing goes back, but wait a second. But mountain is different, as we said, because it's attached to the ground. So loy razi kerazi v'loy reizeh kerizeh, meaning the unique characteristics of a mountain is not the same as an animal, and neither is an animal as a mountain. But atzara shavash behen, what's the common denominator of both of them? She'ein behen tfisis yidei adam, that they're not affected by man. One, because it's the same mountain that it always was, and that's the way Hashem made it, and that's the way it's always going to be. And the animal is also the same animal that it always was, umutur, and both of them, when they worship the avodah zarah, they remain permitted to have benefit from, even though it was worshipped as avodah zarah. Of course, she meant tvisis they are the umutur. So then that would tell us also other things, like a rock that broke off in the mountain, which is not affected and manipulated by man, and it remains in its primary or organism. So then it's going to be mutur b'hana. So that's why those opinions say that it's mutur b'hana. Still the Gemara asks, malat tzara shavash ben, but still, what do we find by the common denominator of both a mountain and an animal? Shekein lo nishtanu mibriyasin. They didn't change at all from the way they were created. The animal is exactly as it always was. The mountain is as it always was. In contrast, over here, the rock is not always as it was, because when it was created, it was attached to the entirety of the mountain. Now it broke off. Maybe now that it changed, maybe we would say it could become asabana as avodah zarah. So Ella rather says the Gemara, asya mibehema balas mum. The tzara shava that we're going to learn now from is from an animal that's blemished, where even though it's going to be bowed down to and worshipped, it's still not going to be aser. It's, as we said, it's only for gevaya, but for a regular person, the animal is not going to be forbidden. So we can learn that from the tzara shava of the blemished animal, umiharan, from a mountain. Where now, if you're going to ask and say, wait a second, how could you learn from the animal? An animal is a living thing. Maybe that's why it's considered distinct and chashuv, and that's why it cannot become usher when it's worshipped. And that we say, well, a mountain disproves that, because a mountain's not a living thing, and it also does not become usher. Then we say, wait a second, but how can you learn this rock that breaks up in the mountain from the mountain itself? Well, the mountain's attached to the ground. We could say, well, behemoth disproves that, where it's not attached to the ground. And that's what we say, chazad, then the logic goes back and forth. What's the common denominator? That both these items don't have tfisis de adam, they're not affected by man, and that is the primary reason to permit and say that where it's not any other reason why it's going to be permitted. Because if you say the reason why it's permitted, let's say by the mountain, of course, is attached, you say, well, the animal could disprove that, where it doesn't have that, and it's also permitted. And if you're going to say, well, by the animal, it's because it's a living thing, well, the mountain doesn't have that. So obviously the primary reason why these things are permitted and they don't become usur when they worship as Avodah Zarah is because there's no tefisas that they adam on them. So it's regarding this thing that both of them share the common denominator. I'll also include anything that also has that characteristic that's going to be permitted, which includes a rock that breaks off from the mountain. And moreover, now you can't ask anyone and say, wait, but the Tzad HaShava are things that didn't change from how they were created. It's not true. The animal's not the same as it was created because it developed a blemish. So that's the same as the rock that broke off from the mountain. Or Ve'inami, another idea, the same idea, just in the reverse, is Mebehemet Tama Ilan Yavish. You can learn that this limud from the Tzad HaShava of an unblemished animal, but from a dried out tree, where that also changed from how it was created. And even so, it's not going to be usur when it's worshipped. Where, according to this answer, depending if you're the Rabbanon or Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, according to Rabbanon who disagreed with Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, the Tzad HaShava would be that there's no tefisas de adam to make it into Avodah Zarah, because the manipulation, the effect that the person had when he initially planted it, according to Rabbanon, although they agree that can make it into an Asherah tree, but that's not considered tefisas de adam because at that moment it wasn't a tree, it was only a seed. And according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, who does consider that tefisa, and actually he says you could even make a tree forbidden even in the middle of its growth, you would say that the case is talking about a tree that grew by itself. Within even the contribution, it's not going to become usur as long as he didn't do anything to the tree itself. That's not considered that the tefisa si de adam, and moreover, the tree changed from what it originally was. So you can't say, oh, both these things are not nishan and b'b'yasin. So again, both answers are the same, just depending if you're saying it changed from the animal or from the thing that's attached to the ground, whether it be a mountain, which that doesn't change, or from a tree, which could change. That same idea where that's a mahatzad, we're talking about things that don't have tefisas de adam, and moreover, we could even say that they were nishtan and mibriyasan, either because the tree dried out or because the animal developed a blemish, and they're mutter bahana, so to the rock that breaks off, it's going to be mutter bahana. That explains that opinion. So as the Gemara, man da us, and according to the opinion that says that the rock or breaks off in the mountain is going to be forbidden from having benefit from it, because it is going to be considered as avodah zarah. Well, what do they do? We just learned out there's a tzad hashava that says that it should be permitted. Says the Gemara, lahachik siv shakis teshakzenu v'sav tisavenu. This opinion says that's why the Torah wrote regarding avodah zarah that it's an abomination and it should be disgusting to you. What's that coming to include? To tell you for this, like these types of halachas, the avagav di'asya medina. Even though there's a tzad hashava over here that should teach us lehetera, that should permit the rock that breaks off in the mountain, like we just said, that there's a tzad hashava from a mountain and from an animal. That's what the pasuk is coming to say, that loy tasya, don't learn out from this tzad hashava to permit it. And it's from the understanding of the pasuk that we learned this out. The pasuk seems to be saying, whatever drushes you can expound regarding avodah zarah, don't make that exposition. You're right. Usually halacha would tell us, like the other opinion was saying, to make a tzad hashava and say it's permitted. On that, the other opinion says, no, that's what the pasuk is saying. No, teshaket and tesaev and make it usur. And the only thing you should permit regarding avodah zarah is what the Torah explicitly says permitted. But any other drushes, any other expositions that would normally say, we don't say. And therefore they say that it's going to be usur regarding the rock that breaks off in the mountain. So that's Machlekes, the sons of Reb Chiya and of Rabbi Yechanan. Says the Gemara, Testayim, the B'nai Reb Chiya, says the Gemara, let's prove that it's the sons of Reb Chiya, who are Yehuda and Chizkiya, were their names, to show that they're the ones who held in this Machlekes, where before we didn't give an attribution of the opinions, they're the ones who say that the rock that breaks off in the mountain is going to be permitted. What's the proof? Because the boy Chizkiya, one of the sons of Reb Chiya, Chizkiya, asked the following question. Zakif beya lishtach of islamah. What's halacha if someone took an egg and stood it up to bow down to it? Now, explains the Gemara, kasal g'daitach, that you would think to say, and this was the assumption of the Gemara when it was trying to prove that Chizki is the one who says, him and his brother, the sons of Reb Chiya, are the ones who said that the rock that breaks up by itself is going to be permitted, that lishtach of islamah vihishtach of Allah. That the case he was describing of the egg was not only that he prepared it and stood it up to bow down to it, but that he actually went and did bow down to it. So what was his question? Becoming Baile, and his question was, Hais kifasa, this that he stood the egg up. Ihava maisa, is that considered an action? In other words, is that considered what's called tfisis yide adam, that it's being affected by a person? Eloi have a ma'isa, or is that not considered a significant action? And therefore, that's not considered tefisa de adam. Avoloi zakav, but the inference is that had he not stood it up, even though he would have worshipped the egg, that loy mitzvah would not have become forbidden. Obviously, we can infer that it was the sons of Reb Chiya who said with the rock, the breaks of the mountain, that it's permitted, because obviously we see that they hold that you need to have tefisa de adam. It has to be affected by a person to become aser. And therefore, the rock that breaks up the mountain, which is not affected, it's the same rock that it always was, is going to be permitted. Seemingly, that's a good proof. Says the Gemara, loy. No raya. Lo'olam emelach, truthfully, I would tell you that b'nei Reb Chiya da'asri. We could say that they're the other opinion that said that the rock that breaks off in the mountain by itself and then it was served is going to be asr b'hanah. Because they actually say that you don't need to have tefisa de adam. Meaning regarding something that's detached from the ground and that's not a living animal, whether by a Jew or a non-Jew, it will immediately become asr when it's bowed down to him. And that the hishtachavala avagav de lezak fasura, that if someone bows down to the egg, even though it wasn't stood up, or like in the case of the rock that breaks up in the mountain, it will become forbidden, even though it was not affected by the adam. So then what's the question over here he has regarding the egg? What we're talking about is, he stood the egg up to bow down to it, and he did not bow down to it, which the Gemara asks, so then, ulaman. So according to whom, to which opinion, did Chizkiya ask his question? And that is, since he does not require, you want to tell us that he's from that opinion that does not require tefisas de adam affecting by man to make something aser b'hanaz avodah zarah. So this person who went and stood up the egg for the utility of serving it as avodah zarah, whether it is an action or not an action, still he's calling it as avodah zarah. That's what he's standing up for. So ilamando amar, if he's asking according to the one who says that avodah kechav mishal yisrael regarding an avodah zarah of a Jew, meaning that he placed it up to make it as an avodah zarah, to serve it. He didn't do it yet, but he prepared it for that purposes. Which this is a machlikas Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Kiva, later on in Alvam and Beis, where there is an opinion that says, asur miyad. The moment that he prepares it to be avodah zarah, even though he didn't worship it, it immediately becomes asa. So then asura. Of course it's asa. What's his question? He's preparing it to serve it. And ilaman do amar achat yavar, and if he's going like the opinion that says that no, even by an avodah zarah Jew, it only becomes asa when it gets served. So then, holei polcha. Then he didn't serve it yet. You're saying the case to him where he only put it up to worship it, but he didn't worship it yet. So of course it's mutter. So then, what exactly is this question? Explains the Gemara. No, loy tzricha. It was necessary that yes, really, is he's going like the one who says that it's only going to be asr when it's worshipped. So then, what's the case? But it wasn't worship. You said he only stood up to worship it, but didn't bow down to it. It's kagayin. For example, it's talking about shezakef be'el ishtachav esla v'lo ishtachav. Like we were saying, he stood up the egg to bow down to it, but he didn't bow down to it. Now, but the case doesn't end over there. Uba oivit kechavim v'ishtachav esla. Then a non-Jew came along and bowed down to this egg after the Jew had stood up the egg to worship it. Now, we don't say that. Wait a second. This egg does not belong to that non-Jew. He cannot make this egg forbidden by his bowing down to something that's not his, which is a classic halacha known as Ein Odom Eisa Dov Shein Shaloi. A person cannot make something that's not his forbidden. A guy bows down to my car, he's going to make it forbidden. It's not owned by him. Oh, so what's the case talking about? Because Ki Hodam Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he says, Yisrael, regarding a Jew, Shezakif Levein L'shtach B'sla. If a Jew stands up a brick to bow down to it. Now, he doesn't bow down to it, but uba ayvit kechav mishtachav ala. And then a non-Jew comes along and bows down to it. So on that says Shmuel, asura. So that brick actually becomes forbidden, bahano, like avodah zarah. So what's the understanding of this case that we're talking about? This action that we require, which in this case is what Chizkiya is asking, is it considered an action or not, is only what's called gilu das. It's just revealing his intention that he wants it to be served as avodah zarah. Because without the Jew's intention, then you're right, it would never become forbidden by the bowing down of the non-Jew, because the non-Jew has no right to make someone else's thing, a Jewish thing, aser, as avodah zarah. But in this case of, let's say, the brick that Shmuel is talking about, it's going to be aser, even according to the one who says that an avodah zarah of a Jew only becomes forbidden when it's worshipped, because of the non-Jew bowing down to it. And that is, we don't say, but wait a second, it's not the non-Jews. He can't make something that's not his forbidden. And that we say that since the Jews stood it up, he revealed his intention that he wants it to be served as an avodah zarah. So when the non-Jew bows down to it, it's what's called shlichusei ka'aven. He's doing the agency of the Jew who wants it to be worshipped. So now, regarding the case of the brick, so that's something that's being done and manipulated by a person. Where there, according to everyone, that brick is going to become asur. Now, what's the purpose of, because a brick is not naturally created, it's affected by man. Now, so why does it have to be stood up? That's like we're saying, that standing up is not because of ma'aseh of the Adam, tefisah of the Adam. It's just a gilui das. It's revealing his intention. Like we said, because if he would not stand it up for the purposes of being an avodah zarah, it would not become asur even if the non-Jew bows down to it. Because since it's the Jews, it cannot become asur with the non-Jew bowing down to it because it's not the non-Jews. And that's how the Gemara explains this halacha of Shmuel later on the Gimel Mabeis. So here also, the question of Chizki was, do we consider this as a gilui das? Not because of an action like the Gemara thought initially that, oh, is it considered tefisah de adam? Because like we're saying, regarding something detached from the ground and it's not a living animal, you don't need to have an action to affect it. And it becomes asur immediately when it's bowed down according to the sons of Reb Chiya. But for kami bayale, but what the question of Chizki was, however, as follows. Do we say that it's only levenuhu in the case of Shmuel regarding a brick? There, Deminkara Zikifasa, it's recognizable when the Jew stands it up, because the length is more than the width. So when you stand it up, it seems it stands up very tall up. That's a clear revelation on the part of the Jew that he wants it to be worshipped as a avodah zarah. So when the non-Jew comes and does it, that's with the acquiescence of the owner of the Jew. And therefore the non-Jew is like doing the agency of the Jew, and he can make it asabana. But the question was, an egg, it's not so recognizable standing it up. It looks the same, the length and the width, it's not so different. And therefore, maybe there, that would not be considered a valid gilui das to say that he's standing it up to be worshipped as avodah zarah. And therefore, the non-Jew comes along, cannot make it usr because it's not his shlichusei. And that the other side of the question of Chizki was, oh, maybe there's no difference, because ultimately standing it up, and that's a gilui das, and therefore the non-Jew's worshipping like the halacha of Shmuel can make it usr. On that take, good, let it stand. But one thing that we see is that there's no proof to show that it was the sons of Reb Chiya who were of the opinion that were saying that the rock that broke off the mountain is going to be permitted, because they don't need, that you see that they need tefisah de adam, and the rock that breaks up does not have tefisah de adam, because like we explained, that's not necessarily the question. It's not necessarily a case of when he stood up to bow down and he bowed down to it. And we're wondering, however, was that considered a tefisah de adam in the original action? No, nothing to do with it. It doesn't need tefisah de adam. The question was regarding when he didn't bow down to it, and the non-Jew bowed down to it, was it considered an action of creating a gilu das to say that when the non-Jew bows down to it, it's going to be usr as his shliach making this thing usr banal, like the man the Amah who holds that even the avodah zarah of Yisrael is only usr achenevet. Merkatin is related, like a similar type of questioning. Bayiram Barcham, he says, Hamishtachav elahar. Okay, so if someone bows down to the mountain, avonav mahu lemizbeach. What's the halacha regarding those rocks, those bricks, to be used in the building of the altar of the mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash? As we continue to Mizbeach, where the Gemara explains the question. Yesh never bin mechuber etz legavaya. Is there a halacha of something becoming usr as worship as avodah zarah, even though it's attached to the ground, relating to hektish, to things of Hashem? Or do we say that no, there is no halacha of something being considered as worship regarding if it's attached to the ground, regarding things of hektish? In other words, why do we have this question? Didn't we say haharim, that the mountains do not become asr as avodah zarah? The reason for the question is because living animals, as we mentioned before, do become asr for hektish, even though it's permitted for a regular person when it's worship as avodah zarah. So that's the question. Do we say then similarly the same idea would be regarding a mountain, something that's attached to the ground, if it's worship as avodah zarah, it would be asr legavaya? Or do we say not? So the Gemara continues and says, well, imtim salami, even if you say yesh neved b'mechubah etz legavaya, that there would be a halachic classification as something being considered worship as avodah zarah, if it's, even though it's attached to the ground, in regards to hektish, but the question would still be applicable. Regarding this mountain that was worshipped, we're not using that brick, that rock, for a carbon itself. We would be using it for the building of the Mizbeach, where that's not a carbon, that's not Gavoy itself, that's what's known as Machshirei carbon. That's preparatory for the carbon. So then there's still an added question to this question. Do we say mechshiri carbon ke carbon damu, that even the preparatory things for the carbon, which is the mizbech, where the carbon is sacrificed on, is like the carbon itself, and therefore nevad, something that was worshipped, even though it's attached to the ground, would be aser, aylai, or maybe not, and therefore would be permitted to make the mizbech out of these rocks from the mountain. Rava says, Kavuchheimer, I could answer the question from a Kavuchheimer. Because ma esnan is a harlot's wage. When a man has relations with a harlot, he then pays her. And that esnan, the Pasuk says, is forbidden to be used as a carbon. So it explains Rava as follows. He says, if we find regarding an esnan, shemutr betalush lehedyut, where something detached from the ground, let's say like an animal, where if a man pays a harlot with that animal, that animal is not forbidden for a common person to have benefit from. And yet, asa b'mechub l'gavaya, a esnan, if it was paid to a harlot, something that was attached, even attached to the ground, is forbidden for the Beis HaMikdash, even, because something attached to the ground is not being used as a carbon, so even for machshiri carbon, even for something preparatory for a carbon. How do we know this? Because the Chassid, the Pasuk says in Devarim, Leisavi esnan zaynu mechir kelab, do not bring the harlot's wage and the exchange of a dog, which the Pasuk says, Beis Hashem. Which that sounds like when it says, well, usually it's read as, don't bring it to the house of Hashem. But the wording also sounds like, even for the building of the house of Hashem. And it just says, any esnan, any harlot's wage. Which seems to indicate, Leishna talush, Leishna b'mechubber. The harlot's wage cannot be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, whether something detached or even attached. So if so, nevad she'asa betalish lehadyut, so regarding something that's worshipped as avodah zarah, where that is forbidden, even if it's detached to a commoner. So ein adin, so isn't it a kal v'chomer she'asa b'mechubah l'gavayah, that something worshipped as avodah zarah, we see it's much more severe than the harlot's wage. Harlot's wage detached is permitted for a hadyut. Nevad detached is forbidden for a hadyut. So if esnan regarding that it's aser even b'mechubur legevaya, so what's more severe, which the laws of nevad of being served as avodah zarah, isn't a kal v'chomer that it should be forbidden, even though it's attached for even just preparatory machshiri carbon, like the building of the altar for gevaya? So that seems to answer the question that it is aser. Now that Amalei Rav Huna Baridi Rishul LeRavi says no. Or I could tell you the exact opposite of the logic that you just said. Why? Since you don't really find an explicit pasuk that says that an esnan is aser, even to something that's attached to the ground, for gevaya, for Hashem. It's just because you had a unspecified pasuk that you seem to be inferring and understanding that it would be aser even though when it's attached to the ground. So from there you went and you extended a kal v'chomer and you said, oh, so the pasuk doesn't differentiate, it's undifferentiated for the example of esnan being aser legevaya. So says Rava, I would assume that it's even b'mechubur. So then you went and you learned the Kavachai and said, well, if my esnan, which is more like my hedyet, it's aser b'mechubur legevaya, so the nevid, which is more severe, and even talish is forbidden for hedyet, for sure mechubur is going to be aser legevaya. On that, says Rav Huna Baridi Yeshua, I would say the exact opposite. Because we have a different unspecified, undifferentiated pasig, which seems to say that something that's mechubur would be permitted, even though it was served and would be even for gevaya, because it's false. Uman nevad she'asu betolish etzel hedyut. If something that's worshipped is avodah zarah, if it's detached from the ground, we say that's avodah zarah. It's asu b'anal, even for a regular person. Yet mutu b'mechubah legevaya, still, it's permitted, even though it's even for Hashem, if it's attached to the ground, it's not going to be asu. Why? Shenem, like it says in the pasuk in Devarim, Eloiheihem al haharim, what's forbidden for the Jewish people? The gods of the Canaanites that are on the mountains, which teaches us, as we mentioned in the previous dafim, v'loi haharim Elohim. But the mountains themselves are not forbidden as avodah zarah as their gods. Now, since this pasuk is unspecified, undifferentiated, that I would tell you, loishna lehedyit, v'loishna legvaya. There's no difference for this permissibility for a regular person, or even for Hashem. I would say even for legvaya would be permitted. Now, says Rav Huna, I could take your kal v'chomer and now go the other direction. So therefore, I could learn that esnan from there and to say that esnan is permitted for gevaya when it is attached to the ground. Because, I'll tell you the following kal v'chomer. So esnan shemutu betalish lehedyut. So regarding esnan, which is more lenient than being served because by nevad, it's asur lehedyut betalish. Esnan is permitted, someone a harlot's wage for a regular person is permitted to have enough of it. Isn't it a kal v'chomer that for sure by their mechuber should be permitted likvaya, because I would tell you the pasuk of Avodah Zarah is permitted mechuber likvaya for sure. Esnam be permitted mechuber likvaya. Not like Rava wants to go the other way and use the from the unspecified make a kavachama one way. He says no, I can tell you this is unspecified and take the kavachama the other way as a leniency. Now v'yimishum beis hashem lekecha. Now if you would tell me, then what am I going to do with the pasuk by Esnan where it says that don't bring an Esnan and Mechir Kelev based on Hashem Lekecha, the house of Hashem your God, which you wanted to say that, wait, it seems to say that even for the house, for the building which is attached, still it's asked to bring an Esnan, and that's how you expounded the pasuk, which was Lo Yisavi Esnan Shel Bayis, don't bring, as if it said, don't bring an Esnan of a house, where if, let's say, a house was given to a harlot for her Esnan payment, that she is forbidden to be Makdash to have for the utility of the building of the a bias of the Beis HaMikdash, on that sister of Hinri Yeshua, that I would tell you me boyle, that's necessary for a different drasha. That's not coming to say that Esnan is Asa Legevaya if it's Mechubah. No, for my Kabbalah, I would say Esnan is for sure Mutta B'Mechubah Legevaya. But rather teaches you a different halacha, like learning the Braisa. The Pasuk says, Beis HaShem Lekecha, don't bring an Esnan for to the house of Hashem your God. What that comes to teach is that's excluding lepara she'en lebala bayis. That's excluding the para aduma, the red heifer, where it doesn't come. It's not one of those carbons that is sacrificed like every other carbon in the azara in the Beis HaMikdash. Because here it's actually slaughtered on the har hazeisin, the Mount of Olives. Like the pasuk says, v'hoytzi eisel mechutz lamachni, you actually take it out of the camp. So that's the Rebbe Elazar, that's the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, where it's teaching a different halacha, saying that actually one could use an esnan for the para aduma. Or v'chachamim, they say a different drasha. They say actually it's l'rabbis esarikuyim, comes to include the golden plates which they would use to plate the walls of the heichal of the kachay kaddishim, as the Mishnah says, as the Gemara says, Masechta Shkalim and Perek Truma. Now, since it's a beautification of the Beis HaMikdash, that's what's going to be asur. That's included in Beis HaShem Lekecha. But it's not attached to the ground. But since it's used, since it's detached and it's used in the house of Hashem Yikad, so that's going to be included with those words Beis HaShem Lekecha. But you don't see anything that's something that's attached to the ground like Bayis, says Rav Hinri Yeshua, that that's going to be us. And therefore, since I can tell you the other way around, there's no proof for what you're trying to answer. You're trying to prove that the Kal V'Chomer is Luchumra. I'm showing you that you could say the other way, from the undifferentiated from Nevad, from Avodah Zarah, that actually they would both be permitted. So on that Amalei, Rav responded to him. He says, look, Ano Kamina Luchumra. I was learning out these two undifferentiated psukim and to say a Kal V'Chomer as a stringency. Vat Amar Lekula, and you were saying it to say that you could say it lenient. Kula v'chumra, when you have an option of learning as a lenient interpretation or stringent, the halacha is l'chumra parchinen, we judge it, the kal v'chumra, as a stringency. The reason why it says parchinen is because really every kal v'chumra is a pircha, which is like a question. It says, wait a second, if by this halacha it's like that, then the more stringent one or the lenient, then for sure it's going to be like that. Well, that's what a kal v'chumra, that's how it's based, and that's why you use the word of pircha. So therefore it says, Rava, you're right. Both of us don't have a clear-cut proof. And one undifferentiated pasuk will be the dafka one, and the other one will be learned as a kavach chaimer. But since you could learn the stringent or lenient, it definitely makes sense, like me, that we learn it stringent, and therefore we say that Beis HaShem Lekecha is referring to that the issa of esnan applies legavayi even when there's mechaber, and there it's more lenient for hedid. So by nevid, when something's worshipped of a desire, which is more stringent by hedid, for sure there it's going to be asa legavaya, even something that's mechaber lekarka, and it would be asa even to be used as for the Mizbeach or for the Beis HaShem Lekecha. Now, on this answer that Rava gave to Rav Hinri de Yeshua, that didn't disprove his logic, his Kal V'Chomer, but he just said that when you could go Kula and Chumra, you're always going to go Chumra and not Kula, and that's how he knows it's like his interpretation. On that, Omer Pabla Rav, he says, V'chal Hecha Deika Kula V'Chomer, is that really so? Wherever you could learn out of Kal V'Chomer, lenient or stringent, L'Kula Loi Pechina, we're never going to learn the Kal V'Chomer in a lenient interpretation, and that must be like that? But V'ha'azah de Pesach, but there's a following halacha regarding someone that's a Temei Mase, became ritually impure by touching a dead person, where he has to go through a purification of 7 days, and then he has to purify himself, and then afterwards, on the 8th day, he's pure. Now, his 7th day, which is the last day that is Tamei, on that nightfall, he's going to be Tar, was Shabbos, Erev Pesach. Now, he can't bring a Korban Pesach if he's not going to have the purification of the hazah, which is shlishi and shvi, has to be sprayed with the ashes of the paradum on day 3 and day 7. Now, if he doesn't spray himself on day 7, he's not going to be able to eat the Karban Pesach that evening. So the only way is if he's sprayed on day 7, but it's Shabbos. Shabbos one is not allowed to do because it's like tikkun mon, it's like fixing a person, fixing an object by spraying him because it's purifying him. So that's rabbinically prohibited. Now, regarding that halacha of spraying a tamei mei, someone that became tamei from a dead person on the 7th day, on Erev Pesach, that's in Shabbos, we're depligi Rabbi Yezer, Rabbi Kiva. So there was a machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer held that you make the following kal v'chomer l'chumra, stringently. And therefore, he held v'kom achayv l'lekavra, that he obligated the person in bringing a Korban Pesach. Why? As the Braisa teaches us, that Rabbi Eliezer says, he says, and this is the middle of a discussion of the Gemara, where he says, Rabbi Akiva, this is what I'm trying to tell you a kal v'chomer. If shechting the Korban Pesach, which is a malacha d'iraisa, you're not allowed to shecht, you're not allowed to slaughter something on Shabbos, still, to shecht the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, which is when you're supposed to shecht it, it's going to override the malacha of Shabbos. So spraying a person, which is a rabbinic problem, there's no problem about spraying someone with ashes, but it's a rabbinic prohibition. Isn't it a kavuchayma that for sure the laws of Korban Pesach should override that rabbinic problem of Shabbos, and we spray him and he's obligated in the Korban Pesach? But Rabbi Akiva l'kulo pater, and that's why it's called lenient. Rabbi Akiva was lenient, in other words, and he exempted the person from bringing the Korban Pesach that year by saying that no, because of a kapar Rabbi Akiva l'kulo, he actually went and learned the kavuchayma as a leniency, and he learned it the other way around. That's not like we learned the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim. Mishnah tells us that Heshev Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva responded and he said, "Oy chiluf, Rabbi Eliezer, maybe it's the other way around the kavuchayma." And I could tell you, umahaza, if spraying a person on Shabbos, Erev Pesach, shehi mishum shvus, where all it is rabbinic injunction, and still ein adecha Shabbos, it does not override the laws of Shabbos, and we don't spray him, and he's not going to bring Korban Pesach that year. So shchita shi deraisa lekol shekein, so slaughtering a Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, of course it shouldn't override the laws of Shabbos. So says the Gemara, and this was the question that was from Rav Papa was asking on Rava, you see Rabbi Akiva was making a kavo chaymer in a lenient fashion, the exact opposite of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was saying, wait a second, override Shechita, which is Malacha D'Oraisa, for sure it's going to override Hazah, which is just Issa D'Rabbanan. And then Rabbi Akiva says, no, I'll tell you the exact opposite. I'll tell you, if it doesn't override Hazah, which is only rabbinic, for sure it doesn't override Shechita, and therefore that's a Kavachayma L'Kula to exempt the person from Korban Pesach. So you see, you do make a Kavachayma L'Kula. That says the Gemara, no. Hasam over there, when Rabbi Akiva responded to Rabbi Eliezer, Oy Chilof, it would never entertain by Rabbi Akiva to actually make such a kavo chaymer and to say that slaughtering the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, which falls on Shabbos, that should not override the malacha d'oraisa of slaughtering on Shabbos. Rather, it's because Rabbi Eliezer Gemari, Rabbi Akiva had received the tradition and the halacha from Rabbi Eliezer himself, who was his teacher, that hazah, spraying a tamei meis on the seventh day, is not deicha Shabbos. But vayakar le Talmuda, Rabbi Eliezer had forgotten that halacha itself. Now, he wanted to learn from a kavah chaymer, which learning hazah from shechita, that it would override the Isra of Shabbos, and you would spray the person on his seventh day to allow him to go ahead and bring the Korban Pesach that year. Now, v'as Rabbi Akiva lad kurei, but Rabbi Akiva was trying to jog and Rabbi Eliezer's memory and to have him recall his own teaching that he taught his own student, Rabbi Akiva. So, Rabbi Akiva was trying to it's remind him through innuendo or different ideas. So that's why he said in this way of Ay Chiluf. And, oh, maybe Rabbi Eliezer, I could tell you the Kal V'chaymer would be the other way around. To actually learn that Shechita from Hazah, that is not going to be Deicha Shabbos, even though that's not possible. Rabbi Akiva never entertained it, because of course Shechita is going to be Deicha Shabbos, because the Pasuk tells us, and everyone agrees to that drasha, it says B'mayado, you bring the Korban Pesach in its time, which means to say you'll slaughter it even if it falls out Erev Pesach on Shabbos. So then why did he say that the Kal V'chaymer should teach us that it's not going to be Deicha Shabbos even for Shechita? It's because he just wanted Rabbi Eliezer to stop and think and go, wait a second. If Rabbi Akiva is going so extreme and he's trying to tell me that even Shechita, you should learn it from Hazah, of spraying the person that it should not be Deicha Shabbos, obviously it's because he's so confident that Hazah is not Deicha Shabbos. And then he should remind himself, say, why is he so confident? Say, whoa, I taught this myself years ago that it's actually right, it's not Deicha Shabbos. However, Rabbi Akiva's tactic did not work. And Rabbi Eliezer did not recall. And rather, he responded to Rabbi Akiva and he says, what do you mean? Akiva, how can you say that slaughtering the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, Erev Pesach, is not going to be Deicha Shabbos, but then you're uprooting what it says in the Torah, which says, Ben Arbayim, Ben Mayadoi, that you bring it in its designated time, even though it falls on Shabbos. So Rabbi Akiva kept on trying his tactic and he said, well, then we should apply this halacha of Mayadoi to these things too, that say that that's referring to maybe to spraying or to bring it from out of the tchum, like the way you're saying mayit for shechita. How do you know that that pasuk is only talking about shechita? Now, Rashi asks, why did Rabbi Akiva have to use this roundabout, indirect tactic Why didn't he just say straight up, says, what do you mean, Rabbi Elazar, I received from you this tradition that Hazaz is not Toicha Shabbos, and that says Rashi, that's not appropriate because he was embarrassed to tell him that you forgot your learning. So Rabbi Akiva never entertained this idea. He was just coming to remind Rabbi Elazar. Now, behind the Amalei, and that's actually what he told him, meaning when Rabbi Akiva was trying to tell him this idea, that then, okay, say Ma'adli applies to these things like spraying and bringing out of the Tchum, which are rabbinic, like the laws of Moyed for Shechita. So Rabbi Elazar got upset. He said to him, Akiva, you're responding to me about slaughtering? Slaughtering will be your death. And that was where he's going to be killed, as was the case by the Roman authorities. So then Rabbi Akiva responded to him, and he says, Rebbe, my teacher, al tachfireini b'shas adin. Don't deny me at the moment of discussion over here, when we're judging one against the other regarding what the halacha is. Don't deny your earlier statements. Remember what you yourself taught me, which he told him, kach mekubal ani memcha. This is my tradition I have from you. Hazah, shvus, spraying is rabbinic, ve'ena deicha es Shabbos, and it's not deicha Shabbos. So obviously we see that Rabbi Akiva had learned this halacha from Rabbi Elazar himself. And he never entertained to say that kal v'chomer, the other way, that it's a leniency that's not going to be deicha Shabbos when regarding shechita. Of course it's going to be. And therefore, Rava's approach still stands. We never find anywhere where when you can make a kal v'chomer l'chomer, a kal v'chomer l'kula, that you're going to pick l'kula. Rabbi Akiva was not saying that. It was just a tactic to try to remind Rabbi Elazar that for Hazah, it's not deicha Shabbos. For Shechita, it is. But for Hazah, it's not. And therefore, there's no difficulty from what Rav Papa is asking from this quote-unquote Kal v'chomer Rabbi Akiva, because it wasn't a real Kal v'chomer. Now, continuing on this previous Gemara's discussion, the Gemara says, Bayi Rama b'chama. Rama b'chama asks, if someone bows down to a pile of standing grain, meaning with the grain still standing up in its stalks, and someone bows down and serves it as a avodah zarah. So mahu lemanachis, what's the halacha regarding this grain being used as the flour offering karbanis on the mizbeach? Now, the question is, because regarding a common person, of course it's going to be permitted, because something attached to the ground does not become forbidden for a regular person. The whole, which like we saw, taught, that's the halacha of haharim, the mountains do not become forbidden. The whole question was ligvaya. And that is, if you say, as in the previous Gemara's discussion, that yesh neved b'mechorbeis l'gavaya, that something that's worshipped as avodah zarah, although it's attached to the ground, does become forbidden to be used in the service of Hashem, what's the halacha over here? Well, why is this any different than the previous Gemara's discussion? It's because since over here, ultimately the wheat ends up being grinded, so the question then has an added dimension. Yesh shinu b'neved, is there a deviate, is there a change regarding something that was worshipped by the Zara? In other words, maybe we say that when it's usur l'gvaya, it's only when it's in its original initial state as it was served. But here, where it's ultimately going to undergo a change when it's grinded down, turned into flour, then turned into a flour offering, and so on, so therefore, it would be okay? I ain't shein b'nevet, or maybe do we say that no, the fact that it undergoes physical changes will not change the fact that it was worshipped, and it's going to be usur, because it doesn't help to go ahead and do a shein in it. Now, Rashi brings down that some have the girsa that it was talking about not as bowing down to standing grain, but rather if someone bowed down to wheat. And then the question was, but then can you use its flour for the menachas? And that says Rashi, you can't say that. Because since if you would be talking about wheat kernels, that would already be detached from the ground. So that would be us about no, even for a regular person. Because even according to one that says you need to have tfisisi de adam, by something that's detached from the ground, you have a lot of things that are affected in this wheat by man, which is the reaping and the gathering of the bundles and the threshing. So for sure, it's also, if it's also b'hanah for a kedyid, for sure it's going to be also l'gvaya. And once it becomes avodah zarah, so then of course it's not going to help shinui of changing it. Because forget about avodah zarah, where it says v'yisachem kamayhu, which is whatever hanah you have from it will always be in that state, even if you change the money and so on, it's always going to be asr. Because even regularly isr hanah, the halacha is like that. Whatever it's made from it is asr, because it's having benefit from it, for sure it would be problematic. So rather, says Rashi, you have to say the girsa is regarding the grain that's still standing and attached to the ground. That was the question, where we say, for hedya that's mutah, but for the gavaya that's asr, but it's only in its initial state, or even when it goes through a change. So Amar Zud Reidav Nachman, he says, Toshama, let's bring a raya from Mishnah Masechtas Temura. The Mishnah says, Kol asurun legabim mizbeach. Whatever is forbidden to be used as a carbon on the mizbeach, like for example, it's called muktzeh, if it was set aside to be used as a avodah zarah, or neved, if it was actually served as a avodah zarah, v'lo deisehen mutar. So although those animals which are worshipped as a avodah zarah are forbidden, but the child that's born from that animal is permitted. Now, v'tanei Allah, but a braisa taught on that, that Rabbi Eliezer Isu, that he disagrees with the Tanakama, and he says that it's asur. Now, the assumption right now of the Gemara is that we're talking about an animal that was pregnant, and then it was sodomized, or then it was worshipped. And so therefore, what is the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer? Is regarding, do we say if there's shinui beneved, something that was worshipped, which the child was there when it was worshipped, but it goes through and undergoes a physical change, Tanakhama holds that there is a shinui beneved. If it undergoes a change, it will change, although it was worshipped. So therefore, the child is going to be permitted because initially it was a fetus. Now it's an animal. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that there's no shinui beneved, so obviously you see that it's a machlokes tanoi. Says the Gemara, no. Because of Alavit, Marla, didn't we learn an explanation of that machlekes? The Omer of Nachman and Rabbi Baravu, he says machlekes, their whole machlekes was, their disagreement was, kishenirbu ulubisayif ibru. That was only talking about actually if it was first sodomized, which makes it aser to be used as a carbon, and only afterwards did it become pregnant with the child. As the Gemara explains in Masechtas Temura, that the reason of the Tanakhama is based on the halacha known as zevezegur. When there's two causations for something to exist. One prohibited, one permitted. The mother is prohibited, where it contributes to the creation of this fetus. But the father's seed also, of the animal, also contributes, where his seed is permitted. So it's zev zegarim, one of prohibited and one of permitted. Tanakhama holds, that makes the thing mut. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds, zev zegarim is aser. That was their homachlekes. But as you continue to talk about Mzainim, but if it was first pregnant and then sodomized, says the Gemara, Divra Kol Asurin. Everyone would agree that the child would be forbidden because it wasn't only the animal that was sodomized or worshipped as a Avodah Zarah. The fetus that was in it at the time was also considered sodomized or worshipped. So therefore, says the Gemara, here also, when the thing is worshipped, is the same idea, Ki Ibru Ul B'Saif Nirvu Dami. This grain of stalk, the stalk of wheat, is also the same type of halacha as if it was pregnant and then sodomized, where we say that then the child and the mother are both aser, even though it goes through a change, where it goes from a fetus to a behema. Here also, obviously, a shinui does not do anything for a neved to remove it from its iser, and therefore not a machlokes, but actually Emma would agree that the flour would be forbidden to be used as a carbon of a mincha. That's one version. Ikadami, that those who say that Rav Zutra himself tried to answer, like we just said, that it's actually going to be Aser, and that we said that Amar Avraham Rav Nachman, meaning that the Gemara rejects that and says, no, maybe it's not that everyone would hold that it's Aser. Where originally he said, oh, Machlaikis kishanirvul b'saif ivru. Machlaikis is that we had from Rav Eliezer and the Chachamim is only if it was sodomized and then became pregnant. As we said, because then it's going to be zebezegar mutra aser. Aval ibrul b'sayif nirvu divakal aser. But if it was pregnant and then sodomized, everyone's going to hold that the child is going to be aser. So that's what he was trying to say originally. Not like the Gemara had the first version that he wanted to say zemachalik is tanoim. No, this version has that he wants to say that no, everyone would agree that it's going to be aser. Like we had in the first Gemara's discussion, the Gemara's rejection of saying it's a machlekes tanoim. So he wants to say, you're right. No, everyone would hold that it's going to be aser. Because of hani nami ki ibul b'seif nirvu dami. Here also, it's the same thing. The flower is the same thing. It's like when the animal was pregnant and then sodomized, where it's aser according to everyone because there's no shina by neved. Here also, the fact that it changed from being an attached stalk, a grain, to flour, and it doesn't make a difference. There's no shina by neved. On that, the Gemara responds and rejects that and says, no, hachi hashta, can you compare the two? Hasam over there really was no change. Because in Mi'ikara, originally, in the mother's womb, it was a behema, although it was a fetus, but it was a behema. Hashta behema, now also, when it comes out and is born, is also behema. And it's only dashahu da'achiza ba'ampa, it's only the doors of the womb which will close. And it's just that the door is open and now it's out, but it's the same thing it always was. So maybe there everyone would agree that it's going to be aser, because there really was no change. But in contrast, hach over here, mikara chiti, v'hashta kimcha. Originally it was wheat, and now it's flour, and therefore says the Gemara, it's no proof that everyone would agree that there's no shinui benevet, because that really maybe wasn't the case of shinui. And maybe if there really is a shinui, like it changes from flour to wheat, maybe that they would agree that it would not be aser gavai, and therefore there's no resolution to answer that question from this machlekes of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, from the Mishnah Masechtas Temura and that Braisa.